sometimes people, you know, have this organic nature to, like, when they're going through something, they kind of don't want to show it. You know what I mean? Like, they want you to think, yeah, I'm up, you know, I'm okay and I can get through it. But I think if you really want to have relationship and you really want to do life with people, you have to show them all the sides of you and all the sides of your life. Because I feel like in looking at any of my relationships, like, yes, like the good times, the great memories, the fun moments, the funny moments are, you know, amazing and they're part of building that relationship. But I feel like it's those difficult moments, those challenging times that I feel like really like forge you together as one unit. Well, welcome back, family. I'm so excited for this episode today because today on the subject of family, speaking of family, we brought in my musical theater twin, my ex-talent agent, one of my very best friends and the rest of my best friends sitting here. But this one you may not have seen very often. This is Malachi. This is our brother. It's been way too long since we've had you on here. We've never had you on here, actually. Mm-mm. This is our first time.
No.
Yeah, but we've been trying for a minute, and I'm so excited to actually have you here with us. This is great. This is going to be like a conversation like you would see of us in our living room. We are clowns. We are strange. We are awkward. Mm-hmm. We might break out in song a few times. So these are just warnings just to make sure that you're prepared for what you're about to witness. But we just wanted to talk to you a little bit today about what we've discovered in becoming a blended family. So for those of you guys who may not know, we became a blended family about, what was
almost
it?
10 years.
Almost 10 years ago. Yeah. It'll be 10 years. Yeah. 10 years in November of this year. We met Malachi in 2013, though.
No, we didn't. 2014. Yeah,
wasn't it 2014?
Was it
still 2014?
It was May of 2014. Mm-hmm. When we met Malachi.
Oh, you're so right. Yeah. Yeah, it was the same year. I don't know why I thought it was 2013, but you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was May of 2014. And we met this strapping young man. At Disneyland.
Yes.
I feel like they were trying to break it in pretty, you know, pretty softly, you know, like you can't really be mad at Disneyland. We met him at Disneyland. And you were, honestly, you were like really cool from the beginning. Like, I remember you just being fully yourself. Yeah. You were like taking pictures everywhere. At every single ride, you're like, let's take a selfie here. Let's take a selfie there.
Every
I'm
time.
Like, I don't know you. But sure, I'll take a selfie.
Yeah. It was great.
And we've kind of just hit it off ever since.
Yeah.
It's been interesting. It's been like this interesting but really, really cool journey this past 10 years.
It has.
So yeah, I'm gonna just ask y'all some questions.
Mm-hmm. Love questions.
We'll see what happens.
Love questions.
bring them on.
Oh my gosh.
Favorite color. Okay.
What's your favorite color?
So okay, I want to hear from each of you guys, like what it has been like going from strangers to family. Just in the context of what we've been through, like, what has it been like for you guys? What has it felt like for you guys?
Should I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
I'm so honored. I think that, like, to be honest, the change from strangers to family was a really quick one.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there was much time that went by. Because, you know, I hear so many horror stories about, like, siblings, like, throwing plates at each other and stuff like that.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That was never my testimony. You know what I mean? And particularly with Isaiah. You know, because me and Isaiah were both the same age. Mm-hmm. My brother Isaiah over there.
They don't know him.
Yeah.
There he is. You've never seen him before.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I always wanted a twin growing up. And so I think that when I met y'all, it was like an instant connection. It felt like I was finally getting, you know, this is going to make me sound like a loser, but friends.
It's okay.
I know. I was an awkward young man. You know, I wore a lot of bow ties. So
me
I mean,
too. That wasn't your fault.
Yeah,
that was not my fault.
This, I need to go to therapy for
true.
That. Sweater vests, you know what I mean? That was very much my bag.
Mm.
But, you know, when I met y'all, it was like I had these like new friends and then from friends to family really quickly. And, you know, I think that first it was Disneyland and then the next thing I knew we were all moving in together. So it wasn't like, you know, we didn't really have like much of a like dating experience like the parents did. It was like, you know, family, you know, I think that they were sharing a bathroom. Like,
oh yeah.
Quick. Like, yeah. You
know what I mean? Not about that. Yeah. So,
yeah. It was hard and fast.
Yeah. It was so, it's hard. It's so seamless.
Yeah.
It was like such a, like an instant like connection, you know, cause like we're so weird and then Malachi was so quirky.
Yeah.
And so like we instantly just like understood each other's like humor and bonded like pretty much upon meeting, like literally like same day I was like, yeah, brother.
Yeah.
Like, this is my brother.
For sure.
So like, yeah, we don't have any like horror stories or like this like oh my god, it was so rocky, like it was very like instant, like I love this kid so much. So,
for sure. No, I feel the same way.
Same sentiments. I mean, you know, look, I love my two sisters, you guys are awesome. I grew up with y'all.
Butt?
There's a I needed a brother.
Yeah.
I really did. Yeah. And, you know, my mom was not going to have another child.
Mm.
And, oh, that would have been terrible if it would have been another girl. But I love you guys. I love my sisters. But, you know, Malachi came along and I really feel like that was a gift from God, for real. Because, like, you know, I always wanted that. Like, you know, there's a difference between having another man in the house, that being my dad, and, like, I'm gonna wait for that to go by and I'll come back.
We're in Hollywood.
Yeah, silence, please.
Yeah, we're in Hollywood.
It was crazy yesterday. Today's
yesterday
hasn't
was,
been
yeah.
too bad.
Oh, yeah.
I'm set, my God.
but you know, primarily growing up with, you know, obviously my mom, you two, and then my dad, but like the father-son relationship is different than a brother to brother. So that was my first time like really getting that. And it's been an amazing experience. It really has.
Yeah.
It's been truly tremendous. And I think because like obviously before we got married, I had my sister Mackenzie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But you know, she was always so much younger than me. And so it was always been such like older brother, like annoying little sister kind of energy. And before that, I was raised primarily by my mom. So, I mean, I didn't really have like any other like guy friends, period. You know what I mean? So I think meeting Isaiah and we clicked instantly. And it's funny because me and Isaiah were like opposites in so many ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think I showed up to Disneyland and I was
red.
Matching.
I remember.
With my thing back then.
I remember
my cargo shorts.
You looked
really
like a gangbanger.
Yeah. I did.
You were
all
red.
I had the red on top
and red on the bottom.
Not a good
and the
idea.
Shoes were probably also red.
Not a good idea.
You know what I mean? Isaiah was wearing a snapback and like a Minions t-shirt. And I was like, first of all, this is the coolest person I've ever seen. Because no one is dressing like this in the South, so this is amazing.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
You know
for
what
sure.
I mean? And so I was like, I need to get to know this really cool guy. And then that cool guy became my brother. And so it was amazing.
Hey, what a tissue's at already.
Yeah.
Just bring it over here.
I know.
Just have it over here just in case, because you're going to start early. I can feel it.
You know what I think, honestly, was something that did it? I think was each of us was 100% ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, from the jump. I think you were 100% yourself. I think all of us kind of brought to the table and brought to like the surface exactly who we were. And I mean, also you can't really have that when you're living together either. So, I mean, there wasn't even really a space to kind of try to fake it and hide. And I think the best thing, like if you're trying to form, you know, new relationships or trying to, you know, forge this family, is like, just don't fake, be yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cause like, even if, you know, you have to go through, you know, maybe misunderstandings because you're different than a person, you don't want to have to navigate like having somebody unlearn what they thought that you were, because that's a lot harder than just being who you are up front and then allowing that person and allowing you to kind of be able to figure out how you guys are going to work together, how you're going to live together, and how you're going to love together. So I think in looking back at it, we're like, we were pretty ourselves right off the rip.
Absolutely.
You said you wanted your daughters to be named Evangelina
and
Christiana.
He's a man of
honest,
God.
To be honest,
loves
I didn't.
Christ.
I didn't even to be.
That was the first day of meeting you. You told me what your daughter's names would be.
I didn't even realize that they were Christian names.
Evangelina and Christiana.
Christiana. I just picked it. Well, to be honest,
I thought maybe you heard them before.
Now it's been like 10 years. We'll have a moment of tea, but I mean,
a moment of tea.
I used to be really into the movie Nanny McPhee, as you all know.
Mm.
And one of the daughter's name was Evangeline.
Got it. Okay, that is there we go. There we go.
I didn't even.
Yeah, I thought you were very. I thought you were very Christian.
I thought Christian. Yeah, yeah, sure. Like, wow, this is a man of God.
Christian, yes. Evangeline,
man loves Christ.
Is that why I was funny?
Have you not know why you thought it was so funny all the time?
Yeah, I was like, y'all,
that's why we're laughing. No, we thought you were.
I thought they were gorge.
To each his own. That's funny to me.
Oh, we're learning something new. See, we're discovering each other.
Yeah,
still, we're discovering even to each other.
Even that now. Makes sense, though, because looking back, it is like a direct, like...
Yeah.
Well, I've changed it since then.
We got it.
If you like it, I love it.
Yeah, if you like it, I love it. So I want to ask you guys, what do you think has been a pivotal moment that brought us closer, like when getting to know each other? If you could think on like what was a pivotal thing or what was a pivotal moment when it was like, okay, boom, we're forged now.
I think every year we have those moments. It's hard for me to choose one. The one that I'm thinking the most is when we moved to Denver. We have the comfortability, you know, of LA. Like, we had all the rest of our family there, all of our friends. We grew up there. Obviously, you didn't grow up there, but you had been there for what? We moved in 2018. You had been here for 4 years.
Yeah.
Or 2017. So you had been here for like three and a half years. We moved to Denver. We didn't have anybody. Yeah. So it forced us to all be like really close and like really get to know each other. These were pivotal ages. Me and Kyle were going to high school together for the first time. I was grown.
I was in community college. 21, maybe 22.
But still, these are like ages where like all of us are kind of, our personalities are changing. We're figuring out what we want to do in life. And so I feel like those were the moments that I feel like really built us. Remember the basement?
Yeah.
Oh, we had a blast.
Our parents never even saw us. We were in that
there.
Basement
yeah,
all
no,
the time.
Yeah, no, we lived there.
Chilling. We had a pool table.
Yeah, there was no reason to go upstairs.
Was there a way to cook down there?
Yeah.
No, but there wasn't. There wasn't a mini fridge.
I kept it clean. I'll tell you that.
Oh, Kai, you could have had a career.
Oh my
way that you were cleaning down there. It was amazing. It was amazing.
About maintenance.
Yeah, but no. Denver was huge for us.
Yeah, what I hear you saying too is just like experiencing. It wasn't even just difficulty, but like transition and new things that allow us to get closer. Because for me, I think I automatically thought of, you know, difficult moments, you know, moments where, you know, we had to comfort each other, you know, if one thing happened to Kai or if something happened to Taya, like, you know, us coming together in those moments and really being there. I can remember, you know, just so many like conversations that we've had, you know, in the theater or in somebody's room and you know, and just being there in difficult moments or moments of crisis. And I think that's a really pivotal part in bonding, is like sharing, you know, not just trauma, but just sharing, you know, new experience, whether they're difficult or whether they are amazing, but it's just new and being open to, you know, talking through it and comforting each other. Cause like, I know sometimes people, you know, have this organic nature to like when they're going through something, they kind of don't want to show it. You know what I mean? Like they kind of don't want to, you know, they want you to think, I'm up, you know, I'm okay and I can get through it. But I think if you really want to have relationship and you really want to do life with people, you have to show them all the sides of you and all the sides of your life. Cause I feel like in looking at any of my relationships, like, yes, like the good times, the great memories, the fun moments, the funny moments are, you know, amazing and they're part of building that relationship. But I feel like it's those difficult moments, those challenging times that I feel like really like forge you together as one unit. So, yeah, Denver was a big one. We were all like, we're going where and when?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What?
We had just moved into the new house. It was amazing. Oh, it was everything
that
we wanted.
Yeah.
We weren't even there for
a few months.
Three months.
Yeah, just for a summer. And then they were like, hey, we're moving to Denver.
Gold.
Yeah, no. And see,
we knew
when any something insane was going to happen, the parents would call a family meeting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's go upstairs to the room. I want to.
Yeah. I mean, it was good news one time.
Yeah.
Every other time.
When they were like,
Yeah. God have mercy.
I'm screaming.
I don't know why. Every time we were getting, like, because back then, I think every time we were getting called into meetings, because we had already moved, like, what, twice?
Mm-hmm.
By the time we moved into that house. So, I mean, like, I think I was either like, someone's pregnant. Yeah. Or we're moving somewhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I rolled the dice and
I'm screaming.
That's not what I wanted.
No, but to what Rim was saying earlier, just the importance of like letting people in on those moments definitely is what bonds you. I know for me, I was definitely someone that would like to portray like I was doing fine and I wouldn't want to let people in just because, I'm actually not exactly sure what it was. I need to go to therapy, dig into that a little bit more. But I think it could have just been, I don't like people to see me going through it, especially when you're someone who's known to like, you know, be the upbeat one and be the one that's like very, you know, the light in the room or the energy and whatever, life of the party type person. So, I think, it was like a practice that I had to do, but it's been so beneficial to like open up and let each one of you in. Cause it wasn't just like with Malachi, it was with everybody.
Right.
It was with my entire family. Yeah. So I definitely think, allowing those people in your life, whether it's family, you know, whether it's friends, close friends and stuff like that, to be there to support you is so important. And it really, really does bond you together, especially if they're good people that want, that like want to support you and that want to be there for you. Like it definitely, I've seen the benefits of it. And just to let you know that you're not going through things alone. You know, we have a tendency to feel like we're going through things alone, but why when we don't have to, when we have people in our lives, you know, if you do, you know, have people in your lives that love you and that want to help you through it or even just be there. Sometimes it's just their presence. You know what I mean? And like them listening to you talk or watching a movie with you or spending some sort of quality time. Like I think that it really, really is important to allow those people in your life to be open enough to allow them to support you through whatever you're going through.
I've watched you evolve so much over the past years because it's weird for me to even hear you say that because I'm like, you're like the opposite now.
Opposite,
like,
polar opposite.
We
swung
know
the pendulum
as soon as something, you know what I mean? Maybe not as soon as, but fairly quickly afterwards. And like, you've done a really, really great job over the years of just like being more open to that. And I think that's something that I had to learn too as a firstborn. Another thing that you and I can both relate to is just this feeling of wanting to be, you know, wanting to be there for everybody else, you know, and not really allowing yourself to come down to the level of like, well, I'm still human though. Like, yes, I'm the oldest sibling, but I'm still human. You know, things still upset me and things still, you know, will bother me sometimes. And sometimes I don't want to show up as a big sibling. Sometimes I just want to show up as, you know, like somebody else, you know, somebody else do the family speech on behalf of the siblings. You know what I mean? Like somebody else do.
Ren, you got that.
Ren, that's you.
The older siblings always are like the spokesperson for the rest. I'm like, nah. That's gonna flip.
No.
That's gonna flip.
No. We'll keep it.
It's gonna go back to
God. Also, the parents got married because if the parents had not gotten married, then
you would have still been the firstborn. Always.
And I hate. Like me. Like whenever it's time for someone to give speeches, I'm usually in the corner like,
don't pick me.
Don't pick me.
Don't pick me.
My God, don't pick me. Especially with those birthday speeches. My gosh.
Oh, God. Yes. Oh, this is something that I've learned too. Like when you don't do that, you will be resentful for somebody when you didn't even tell them or give them the ability to show up for you.
Right.
Yeah. So like you're sitting around here like you're angry and you're like, well, but you didn't communicate that you wanted the support, that you wanted, you know, to be supported or helped in that moment. And how can they think that you need it if you're not clear on that communication? Yes. So like you have to, you know, if you're feeling resentful or you're feeling like, oh, somebody didn't show up for me in this way, I would challenge you. Did you position yourself to be helped? Mm-hmm. And did you position yourself position that person to be able to help by communicating like, okay, I'm a little tired of, you know, I'm a little tired today. I'm a little sad today. You know what I mean? Like, and I just want support. I just want to be listened to. You know what I mean? So
that's huge because it's not just enough to like have love in a relationship. Like you have to give people the opportunity to do so.
Yeah.
And so kind of like what you were saying, you will charge someone with like, oh, you weren't there for me. But I'm like, see, how was I supposed to know that if you didn't ask or you didn't make it known?
Right.
You know, bring scripture, asking you shall receive.
Yeah.
If you're not going to say anything, it's not really going to be given to
you.
So, you know, and we've done a great job with that. I mean, you know, there are moments where, you know, like maybe we don't feel like talking about something yet, but sooner or later, we're all gonna share what's going
for
on.
Sure. Yeah.
And I feel like that is what has bonded us so well, is because we've been there for each other and each of us individually with each other. Like, it's not just we all go to Ren because she's the oldest and you know, very, very wise, by the way.
Thank you.
But you know, there's been times where Ren has had to come to her younger siblings.
Absolutely.
And like, that's just that's the reciprocity of it all. Mm-hmm. And so, but but you have to communicate. Like, if you're not doing that, there's no opportunity for the relationship to really like grow.
For sure.
And then sometimes that, you know, like feeling like, you know, well, I'm the pillar of the family, or I'm the oldest, and so I can't do this. That's like something that we sometimes put on ourselves, and it's not like
it wasn't
no
one expectation.
It was never an expectation. Exactly. Yeah. So like that's something that we have told ourselves, but like no one was expecting that. You know, and that's all I want to say. Yeah. I don't have anything more than that. Yeah.
No, that's so important.
But no, but you're onto something, because there are roles that we each play, and like, I won't even just say the sibling, but in the family, that, you know, are roles that we think of in our heads, but like no one's putting it onto us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, me and Kai are men. That doesn't mean that we don't, you know, we can't share emotions. Oh, something hurt me. Like, and these are things that I feel like we have unraveled really well. And like, we don't put these like unnecessary like stereotypes on us. Yeah. We're just friends and siblings, and we can we can really be our full selves without having to like play these characters.
Exactly.
And it's hard also, because when we grow up in a culture where we're in front of people so much, it's hard to really find moments and people who we can really be vulnerable with in that way. And so I think that having us as, I think that's also contributed to our closeness, is that we, it is kind of like us, and then it's the world, and there's no one who is going to really understand what we go through like we do.
Absolutely.
And so I think that there's something to be said about having people who understand, you know, like what's it like to go on tour and be in front of people who are like, you know, all looking at your parents, or in these arenas or stadiums, something like that. That's, these experiences are something that you can't really share with a lot of people.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the... You know, the word PK is so overused, and I think that like to be a PK on the level that we are is a very niche experience,
very much,
and can
so.
Be traumatic in a lot of instances. And so I think that, you know, having people who you can go home, or like even on the car ride back, some, like I think we were at Woman That Were Loose, and we were, you know, we were in front of all these people, and you know, crying, and we were falling out and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we were leaving, and there was everybody out there, and it was so chaotic and hectic. Mm-hmm. And then we all got in the car as siblings, and it was quiet, and I finally was able to feel, like...
Yourself.
Peace.
Myself. Yeah. Peace. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you know, I could really decompress the moment without having to feel like I'm being watched by people who don't really understand what this is like.
I can't imagine having to, like, be the way that we are without you guys.
Yeah,
like,
no.
That, it's a gift that God has allowed us to have this kind of community with the way that we've been growing up. Like, it actually would be pretty horrible. Not that life is bad, but just going through those experiences by yourself.
Well, I got a taste of it growing up in the Potter's house with kind of being, you know, because like I didn't have like anyone to talk to about that, because there really was no one, you know, everyone who I like made friends with in the church was not gonna like kind of understand what that was like, you know what I mean?
And then you were the first grandchild.
And I was the first grandchild, and it was a lot. And I was also, you know, a kid attached to this story, to this testimony. Yeah. So there was not, you know, that was a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have a lot of people to talk to, and it was very lonely and it was very lonely, and it was very isolating. You know what I mean? I didn't feel like there was people, especially because, you know, the way I kind of grew up was in a way where it was like, what happens inside of our home stays in our home. Absolutely. We don't talk about what happens outside the house. Mm-hmm. And so like, I would be feeling all of this, like, you know, just like pressure and sadness and all of that as like a kid, and loneliness, and I couldn't talk to anyone about it, and I didn't have any friends, or I didn't have any, and Mackenzie was learning how to her ABCs, so I couldn't talk to Mackenzie about it. You know what I mean? And children talking about their emotions was not a thing, something that was encouraged back then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think having you all really helped me come to a place where I feel like I can talk about these things now. You know what I mean? Because it gave me a safe space to do so. You know what I mean? And it wasn't like, you know, He's like, and I'll be talking about my feelings. They'll be like, go eat some chicken. You're fine. You know what I mean? But now I have people who understand these experiences, and that is really a priceless thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the value. That's the value of community. That's the value of family. That's the value of friendship. And even if you don't have that, like, biologically, like, if it's so important to find that somehow in friendship, you know, even in if it's your cousin or your aunt or something, because, yeah, there is a point, especially in this age where everybody wants to be an influencer and everybody wants everyone to know them and everybody wants them to like them. I don't think people understand, like, the value of, like, the value of people knowing you intimately versus a bunch of people just knowing your image and what you want to portray.
Yeah.
Like, I would sell that so fast for just having someone to know me intimately. And I'm so blessed that I'm able to be, you know, surrounded by this group of people, my siblings, that know me intimately. And, you know, I could call, you know, call back on something that happened 10 years ago and, you know, and laugh and take the pressure off of an intense moment.
Yeah, right.
Like, the value of that, the value of, and that's why you also don't want to write people off too fast either, because, you know, if you're getting a new friend group every 2 years, who are you going to look back on and be like, oh, do you remember when, like, well, they're all gone because we cut off, you know, we cut people off all the time. So what are you laughing at? What happened? What came to your mind?
Oh, God.
Have you been convicted?
Have you been convicted?
Okay.
I'm about to say,
okay.
I know that look. That's, ooh, that was for me.
I was like, I'm a
sometimes
new friend group
to.
Every 2 years.
Sometimes
kind
we
of
have
you know what I mean?
But look, if it's no longer good for you, that's okay.
Yeah,
if it's no longer good for you, that's okay.
We moved like Navy kids, so I mean, it was hard to really be somewhere where we had friend groups, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. We moved like every 5 years.
Literally, every 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And before then, it was like, you know, I was living in Dallas, and then in Saginaw, and then in Virginia, and then all that. So I, you know what I mean? I think I have like one friend who I've known since I was like really young. And I think it's actually Joshua Dobbins.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, shout out to Joshua. But you have us.
I do have y'all now.
That's kind of the beginning. The beautiful thing is that this circle have been my consistent friend group.
Right.
Yeah, like this
when
particular
I had no
circle,
friends.
When I had no one.
When I had nobody.
No one was calling.
Phone, dry as the desert. Dry as the desert.
Yeah. Contactless, short.
Haven't heard my ringtone.
No, but it's a blessing and it's so needed. I want to know from you guys, how have you learned to embrace each other's differences? Cause that's something that's like,
it is butterflies
and rainbows, but sometimes it's thunder and lightning and clouds. No, yeah. Do you want to go first?
Ren, we've talked about this. I feel like on the podcast, maybe like a long time ago though, probably one of the first episodes that we had. But me and my amazing sister Ren were so different. And we were at each other's throats for the majority of our lives.
Oh yes.
Because we were so different, and we But you know what? Like, so what was the question? Because I want to make sure that I answer it properly.
How did we learn to embrace each other's
You know, for you and I, it was definitely like, because we used to just like argue, and it would be over like a lot of petty stuff sometimes too.
Oh,
like,
God.
It would be like little things.
That's the sad thing.
It was so obnoxious.
It was nothing.
Literally.
It was so
obnoxious, but we argued like it was like very frequent about very little.
Yes.
Like, it was so ridiculous. but I think it was, we took some time and we were like, hold on, wait. Like, we took some time to, like, listen to one another, because I think we just kept clashing, and we were trying to, you know, like, I think we were trying to better our relationship, because we were like, we can't just keep clashing constantly.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, it's getting old. It's getting old. It's a broken record.
Yeah.
Being a dead horse here. but then it was like, I think we took some time and we both just, like, listened to one another, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, me and Ren think totally different.
Yeah.
Like, very opposite. Yeah. So, like, We have the same heart. Me and Ren definitely had like the same heart and the same end goal, but our paths to get there
were totally different.
Like opposite ways. Still get to the same destination, but totally different.
Exactly.
And I think that once you recognize that you're like, you know, especially if the end goal is the same, once you recognize that like you're like, I don't know. Like, I think it was in me
having to respect that she does think differently. Because I think that, and respect, and let go of pride and humble yourself and not just think that your way is the best way. Because I think we both had that on us.
For sure.
Because she was my way makes
I'll
the
be
most
like,
sense.
She's crazy.
And I thought she was nuts.
She's out of her mind.
Yes. I had to be the middleman so much.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for what we put you through.
No, he's lying. He was not six.
I was seven.
No.
Yeah, it's okay. This is going to come up in therapy.
Ring the trauma bell.
All right, guys.
Ring the trauma bell.
Not
the
trauma bell. It's so crazy.
Blessed are the peacemakers, Isaiah.
Yes, for the trusty God. Oh, God.
For the trusty God.
I'm just kidding. Oh, God. Not he sees you.
Yeah, he sees you.
Oh, Lord God. Okay, that's crazy. Oh, is it? There will be shown mercy? Sorry.
Yeah, because I'm about to say, that's blessed with pure
I don't
heart,
do
but
that.
It's okay. We don't have to be Bible scholars today.
God is so good. Anyway, I think we just had to learn to respect each other's differences, like, even though that we had differences, you know what I mean? And not overly, you know, but it really did take, you have to humble yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To be even able to just have a conversation where you're open to listening to that person.
Yeah.
You know, it does take a level of humility.
Yeah.
And, And try to also, like, understand how they got there and give grace.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, okay, like, once you listen, you're like, okay, I can see how, actually, I see how they got there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Actually,
for
that does
sure.
make sense. It's different from the way that I would have done something.
Right.
But I actually do see how they got there and learn to, like, appreciate and respect the way that someone thinks, even if it's different than you.
Yeah.
I think that is very, very, very important and necessary for close relationships that, quite frankly, aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
you know, to be honest, I think too, what was a really big breakthrough moment for us too, was when we were able to really get vulnerable about like experiences that maybe we even had like in our childhood where, you know, I saw that you went through things that maybe I didn't see. And you saw that I went through things that maybe you didn't see, because sometimes, you know, when you're not close or when you're always clashing, you kind of think that, you know, that everything's great for them. You know, the grass looks greener on the other side, and like everything was great for them. And they, you know, they, and honestly, it's like that siblings really struggle sometimes with comparison. I think a lot of times, especially with the girls, like I think there's a lot of comparison sometimes and in jealousy as well when you're growing up. And so, and even when you're not growing up. And I think that like understanding like, yo, like we both had, you know, we both had amazing moments, but we've both been through pain, you know what I mean? And like, we've both experienced things that like, I when looking back on it, I was like, man, like, I wish I could have been there for you. Mm. Like in those moments of pain as a sister, you know, instead of going, you know, and just living my own life, like, I wish I could have been there to experience that with you and to help you through it. And vice versa as well. Yeah. But I think when we humanize each other and see each other as like, yo, like, you know, you're not, you didn't just wake up one day and become like this, or you didn't wake up one day and start thinking like this, but like things happened and this is how you became who you are, whether good or bad, or this is how, you know, you became, you know, this is the way, this is what shaped your thinking and the way that you process things and the way that you, you know, the way that you see things. And 'cause, you know, people don't just like, I think I was maybe talking to my husband about this, but people don't just wake up and they're just like the way that they are. It's like, no, they went through certain things that like made them become who they are. And so.
I mean, must have been parked right there.
I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so I think humanizing you and you humanizing me and seeing like we're different, but we're kind of the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we both have gone through things maybe in different ways, but we both have experienced this. And some of the ways that we approach life actually are similar because we dealt with the same pain, but in a different way. And so like, I think I recognize that yes, there are differences, but there are also similarities when you really, really look deep enough and humanize each other. And it just made me a lot more like open and compassionate and like, you know, and just always wanted to see you win, you know, and then when you do win, like just cheering that on and yeah. 'Cause like now, crazy enough, when I see you, yes, there's differences, but when I see you, I do see me to a certain extent.
Same.
'Cause I'm like, like when I see you win, I'm like, yeah, that's what it feels like. Like, I want you to feel that, you know what I mean? And like, and in certain moments where it's hard, I'm like, yeah, I can relate. I've been through something like that before. So, there's differences, but also when you look close enough, there's always a common thread with anybody that you meet. There's always something that you're going to find that, that you can probably relate to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not me getting like low-key. I'm trying to get like emotional stuff. But like it's low-key making me a little sad that we didn't get along when we were younger. Yeah. Because like, you know, I love you so much. Yeah. And I'm not going to emotional. If I cry on the podcast, y'all, I'm sorry. Okay. Ty's going to kill me. No, I'm just kidding. Ty's going to be like, yes, cry. Yeah,
exactly.
But no, because I'm just like, you're such an incredible woman. And sorry, you're in. And I just love and look up to you and admire you so much that I'm just like, I wish I could have, and even just like, I wish I could have like been there with you to help you through it. Cause I do feel like you have things that I, you know, I can learn and glean from. And I feel like, you know, vice versa. Especially, and like, I really feel like we could have like helped each other even better just going through different things, you know? Cause I think, I think like we have different things that complement one another. So it really does make me sad. I'm so grateful for our relationship now.
Yeah, we have it now. Like,
I'm so grateful for the relationship that we have now and for the admiration that I have for you now and that, you know, you're open with me and vulnerable with me and the safeness that you provide for me. Like, I'm so grateful for that. But I'm just like, dang, girl, I wish we were able to have that growing up, but God turned it around.
He turned it around right on time. Yeah. Right on top.
Yeah.
Good.
Do you need
to really vulnerable? Yeah.
Hey, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you next, Kyle.
I love you so much. And I'm so, so thankful that now from this point forward, like, I got you. And I know that you have me. And and that won't change. Yeah. I am gonna stop right now. I'm gonna stop right now. Oh, man.
Yeah. I wanna answer this question. You said, how do you
embrace? How have you learned to embrace each other's differences?
I think it's exactly that. It is embrace. Like, you know, Kai, you talked about earlier, me and you were polar opposites. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if I like sports and Kendrick Lamar, Malachi liked musical theater and Stevie Nicks.
Right.
Like, but it was in those things where, like, you know, I go to plays with Malachi when he wants to go. Like, yo, there's a show on time. We're going to go because I know that Malachi likes that. Yeah. It might not be my favorite thing, but that's what you do for family. And I value our bond over just those actual things. Yeah. You know, like, Kai, those times, like, at, like, Oakview, we would go out, you know, like, over by the playground and, like, throw around the football. I knew that that wasn't your favorite thing, but, like, what that meant to me, you doing that just because you knew that that was going to create a better bond for us, like, that meant everything to me. And so I feel like that's what, in any type of relationship, we're talking about siblings now, but it requires compromise. And I feel like that's where the beauty lies. Like, we don't always have to agree on the same things, but coming together regardless for the sake of connection, that is everything. So, like, you know, again, I love you guys so much. But, you know, I didn't always, like, you guys were closer in age, and, you know, I'm 5 years younger than you, 7 years younger. We're being the same age. And so, you know, you were the first person that, like, I was able to do things with, like, on that kind of level. So I just want to say thank you, man. Like, it, I feel like I really gained like a partner that I wasn't going to have, had you not been here. So I really appreciate it, man.
I completely understand. And I think that also, like, yes, we had our differences on the surface level, but I think as more we got to know each other and got to know who we were as people, and really how we see the world, we were a lot more similar than we were different. And I think that, like, you know, you liking football and me liking musical theater and all this, like, basic stuff was like, yeah, we were different there, but our heart for people, you know, the way we love family, those are things that are really make us the same.
Yep.
And I think that above, like, me not wanting to do it, I wanted you to know that I would. You know what I mean? That, because, you know, having a brother to me is having someone you can count on.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to always make it clear to you that, you know, I was down for you and for what you liked. You know what I mean? I mean, I understand.
Right.
I may ask lots of questions. You know what I mean? Like, I think Isaiah was explaining to me, he was playing a game one time, and he was explaining to me how the Spider-Man game worked, and I was just like,
this was like a few months ago.
Yeah, I didn't understand whatever he was saying. You know what I mean?
I love that with all my heart.
You know what I mean? But I kept listening.
He literally sat there and still tried to do it.
I did. Like,
oh, what a guy. You know,
That is what you do.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's important to you.
Yeah.
And what's important to you is important to me because you're important to me.
That's it.
And so,
that's good.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And so I wanted you to know that you'll always have someone who will be down for you like that. Because that's what brotherhood is to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have prioritized that. We've had the brother code, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Since like the parents got married. And so I think that, yeah, that's above anything I wanted you to know. And that's how I have felt. This isn't just like one-sided, was that, you know, I was down for you the way you were down for me.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day.
To this day.
To this day. To this day. I mean,
that's so sweet.
Well, before we close and just all go into a corner and hug each other and cry.
Oh, yeah. I think that's brewing. Brewing.
It's coming.
I would say, what advice would you give to your younger self about being open to embracing new people?
Give people the opportunity to get to know the real you and to not be afraid to show vulnerability to people who love you.
Mm.
That's what I would say. I would say to trust that there are people who are on your side and that you have a space where you can be yourself and that not everything has to be a performance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And not everything has to be, you know, be the strong friend or be the happy friend. You know what I mean? Really rest in that vulnerability and the peace of that connection. You know what I mean? That's what I would say to my younger self.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I think I would say something similar. Like, you're going to have to put your guard down at some time. Why would it not be the people closest to you that you would choose? And I think that, you know, thank God it was kind of easy for me to be open with you guys. But even if I had those doubts, like, no fear of judgment or like I wouldn't be seen. For one, it didn't happen. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not, I don't think that kind of fear should make you not open up. Because I know that the reward on the other side is like so much greater than that. So yeah, value that connection over, you know, the fears in your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ask the question again really fast.
So what advice would you give to your younger self about being open to embracing new people? Yeah. Mine was going to be stupid.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, like mine was going to just be like, just dance. Just dance. Because when you break out into dance, there's something about it that is just, it's freeing, it's liberating. And it, you know, even if it is embarrassing, the people that are for you are going to come and dance with you.
I kind of like that, actually.
Why do I dig it?
I like it.
I don't know why it's the first thing that came to my mind, because we dance a lot together. Do you notice that?
We do a
good electric slide.
There's a lot of freedom in dance, and you're like, you let yourself fully go.
Yeah.
So, Ren, you actually might have been speaking a metaphor a little bit.
Ren, that was gorgeous.
You gotta put your guard down when you dance in front of folks.
Yeah.
That's like, especially when you're bad at it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I am terrible.
Malachi, you could break it down a little bit.
I am awful.
I mean, Mal, you have like a nice, like,
I got a one-two step.
A shoulder.
You know what I mean? But when it's time to get into this and all that, you gotta be comfortable with someone for that.
Yeah, I mean, do you have anything when we land with dancing? I know you've got something.
It's brewing still. Maybe
it's brewing.
Let it brew.
It's cooking up.
Yeah. It's bubbling.
Let it cook.
And it's just hard out.
It's crazy.
What advice would I give to my younger self? About being open to embracing new people.
Yeah.
I think that's a hard, I think the reason why that's a hard question for me to answer is because I don't know that I was ever like closed off on bringing in new people. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I'm trying to figure out my answer, because I'm like, I don't know. Because I always just like, even when I didn't have friends or when like people would disappoint me and like not be there, you know, like not be my friends anymore and stuff like that. I always had like hope for the future with like friendship and just like new connections. So I don't know that I ever felt like super closed off. I mean, I was afraid to get super close, like really, really let them in. Cause like I wanted. Yeah.
I think that is the advice though, because you just mentioned like having a hope And I think that sometimes people, like, you know, will close it off because they're like, maybe they've been so burned in the past that they don't want, the hope has like flickered out. And so I think that that is advice in itself, is having, always keeping your hope. Even if your hope is disappointed and let down, if you keep it, you'll find it. Cause like, I think a lot of times people, they don't even allow themselves to get into something that could be wonderful and that could be beautiful because they lost their hope. So I think that's the advice in the sun. I think you had it, child.
And then if I'm just kidding, I think you had it, child. And then if you constantly harbor on, oh, I'm just gonna get burned again, then sometimes you continue to that continues to be a cycle because you keep thinking that and you keep harboring on that. So you naturally attract yourself to people that would do that to you anyway. You know, and you don't leave room to attract. And you don't leave room to attract those good people. So I think that to be able to really, really attract those people to you, I think that you have to switch your mindset about it and be hopeful. And not to say that the next person is not, you know, is going to be just that person for you. But I mean, for one, it could be. And also, like, you know. We're not meant to be alone. Like, God has people for you and stuff like that. So as long as you stay pure-hearted, as long as you stay open to it. And, you know, obviously, you know, when you make those new connections, you know, give them time and stuff like that. Don't just fully be, you know, I wouldn't say just jump into things 100% open. But, you know, I think... I do think that it is important to not just like write everyone off, because not everyone is a bad person. Absolutely. Some people are actually really good people that are for you and that are meant for you, and that are just very like that want to see you win and stuff like that. So I think that but to keep that hope, honestly, because they're making their way towards you right now if you're looking for those kinds of people.
I would even say too, to like people that have been hurt in relationships, because God oftentimes uses relationships to help in that healing process, when you cut off new connections, you are cutting off what God could be trying to use to heal you.
I've been healed
by each of y'all. But if I was never open enough, if I was just like, nah, I'm probably just going to get hurt again, I would have missed out on that. I'm not saying that God can't heal you in another way, but what if that was the way that he wanted to do it in?
It's so, always usually through people.
It really
it's
is.
Always. Like, you know, you can't avoid it. Yeah. That's such a good point. I'm really glad that you said that. Yeah.
And laugh together.
Yeah.
That is, laughter is important.
We do that better than anything.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's so bad. It's so bad. We're really bad.
I mean, there's moments where we might need to cry and somebody gonna make a joke.
Somebody's gonna break it.
Yeah, but laughter is a healer in itself.
Yeah. It is. And food. Anyway. Does anybody want to say anything else? If not, I think I actually want to pray for people.
Yeah.
Anybody? Okay. Yeah, I want to pray. I want to pray for anybody who is looking for that and hasn't found it. Or maybe you do have it, but it's just been difficult. It's been a difficult season to forgive, or maybe to even forgive yourself. So I just want to pray for those people. Lord God, we invite you into this moment. We know that you're already here, Lord God, but there are some people that specifically are looking for friendship, that are looking for family, that have felt like, Lord God, they have not been able to fill this one space. They have everything else, but this one space of just intimate relationships with people is this area that they seem like is always empty. And I just pray, Lord God, that first, before you bring anybody, Lord God, that you would fill their cup, Lord God, to the overflow with your love, Lord God, with your presence, that they wouldn't just sense you as this distant God that just looks at them and sees them from this high place, but that is present in every single thing that they do. So I pray first and foremost, Lord God, that they would find you as a friend, as the friend that sticks closer than any brother, as the friend that cares about and sees every single detail of their lives and every single thought and every single emotion, that you would fill that space to the overflow. So that when you do bring those people, and that's what I pray for next, that you would supernaturally and divinely bring those people, Lord God, that they would be able to just sense, Lord God, based on their relationship with you, what love truly is and what it should look like and what it should feel like. And Lord God, I ask Jesus that you would just keep them in a place of discernment, that they could discern, Lord God, what is for them and what is from you and what isn't. And Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you would keep them from any sort of manipulation, but God, attract them and draw them to your circle that you had in mind from them for the beginning, because you do have people specifically assigned to every single person on this planet, Lord God. You did not create us to be alone. So I pray, Lord God, that you would open their eyes, Lord God, to see the people that you have divinely orchestrated to be in their lives. And I pray that they would be open. I pray, Lord God, that you would heal every wound, Lord God, that may have been inflicted by their past. And I pray, Lord God, that you would do it in the way that you know how to do it best, which is through people. I pray, Lord God, that they would not be afraid, Lord God, or intimidated by love, Lord God, but they would embrace it and that they would know what real love is again, because they've experienced it with you first, Lord God. So right now, bring peace to their hearts, bring comfort to their lives, give them strength for the journey, Lord God, and just continue to allow them to grow in the area of love, Lord God. We thank you that we felt it this entire time, and we thank you that even when this podcast ends, that they would still feel it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for our little family reunion. I just hope that you, what you saw today is just evidence that it can work. Yeah. That relationship with people can work, yeah, and that it's valuable and that it's real. And all you have to do is keep that hope alive and keep that openness alive. Love you guys so much. By the way, we've got Discord. If you're looking for friends,
right,
they might be in that Discord. So check out the link in the description below.
I love Discord.
We've got you.
I'm on Discord.
Discord.
Yeah.
On Discord.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Fun fact: Malachi's in Discord.
Wow.
So you should definitely join, because yeah, he's got some really great jokes that he can throw in there, yeah, and all those kinds of things.
I joke about a horse.
Okay, we're not going to do that. We're going to cut right now. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll have Bible study coming soon. Feel free to keep looking, because it's coming. Our Bible studies are coming back. Go Night's coming back. So stay tuned. We've got some exciting community events coming up. But we love you guys. We hope you have a great day, and we hope you find your squad. Peace.